brought to you by Penguin.
The Missing by Jane Casey. Read by Penelope Rawlins.
Some of it I remember very well. Other parts aren't so clear. Over the years, I've shaded in the bits I can't quite recall, until I'm not sure which details are real and which I've made up. But this is how I think it started. I think this is what happened. This is the best I can do.
1992. I'm lying on a scratchy tartan picnic rug in the garden, pretending to read. It's mid-afternoon, and the sun is hot on the top of my head and my back, scorching the soles of my feet. My school is closed today for teacher training, and I've been outside for hours. The rug is covered with bits of grass that I've ripped up from the lawn. They tickle where they touch my bare skin. My head is heavy. My eyelids drooping. The words on the page march around like ants, no matter how hard I try to keep them in neat lines. And I give in, pushing the book to one side and burying my head in my arms. Parched grass crackles under the rug, brown and dying from weeks of hot weather. Bees hum in the summer roses, and not far away a lawnmower drones. The radio is on in the kitchen. A woman's voice rising and falling in measured cadences, interrupted occasionally by a burst of music. The words are indistinct, blurring into one another. A regular thunk-thud-thud is my brother playing tennis against the side of the house. Racket wall ground. Thunk-thud-thud. I've already asked if I can play with him. He'd rather play alone than with me. That's how it goes when you're 4 years younger and a girl. I peek through my arms at a ladybird climbing up a blade of grass. I like ladybirds. I've just done a project on them in school. I hold my finger out so the ladybird can walk onto it, but it lifts up its wings and flies away. A tickle on my calf is a fat black fly. They seem to be everywhere this year, and they've been landing on me all afternoon. I bury my head deeper in the cradle of my arms, shutting my eyes. The rug smells of warm wool and sweet summer days. The sun is hot, and the bees are murmuring a lullaby. Minutes or hours later, I hear feet crossing the lawn, crushing the dry, brittle grass at every step. Charlie.
Tell Mum I'll be back soon.
The feet move away again. I don't look up. I don't ask where he's going. I'm more asleep than awake. I might even be dreaming already. When I open my eyes, I know that something has happened, but not what. I don't know how long I have slept. The sun is still high in the sky, the lawnmower still thrums, the radio burbles. But something is missing. It takes me a moment to realize that the ball isn't bouncing anymore. The racket is on the ground, and my brother is gone.
Chapter 1. I didn't go out looking for her. I just couldn't stand to stay at home. I'd left school as soon as the last class ended, avoiding the staff room and going straight to the car park, where my tired little Renault started at the first time of asking. It was the first thing that had gone right all day. I usually didn't leave straight after school. I'd got into the habit of staying behind in my quiet classroom. Sometimes I worked on lesson plans or marked homework. Often, I would just sit and gaze out of the window. The silence would press against my ears as if I was fathoms below sea level. There was nothing to make me resurface. I had no children to rush home to, no husband to see. All that was waiting for me at home was grief, in every sense of the word. But today was different. Today, I had had enough. It was a warm day in early May, and the afternoon sun heated the air inside my car beyond comfort. I rolled my window down, but in nose-to-tail rush-hour traffic, I barely got up enough speed to ruffle my hair. I wasn't used to fighting to-
Sample complete. Ready to continue?